gentlemen, and welcome to this very special 112th or 13th maybe episode of Freedom Good Home. My name is Michael Hing, and joining me as always is a man who just today had to move the timing of our recording not once, but twice, maybe even three times. It is Ben Jenkins. Hello, how are you?
Hello! I do that to keep you and our guests on their toes. Treat them mean, and it over time will destroy a good relationship. So that's what I say.
Our guest today is, I would say, probably the most irony-poisoned journalist in Australia. he has brain worms like no one else. We probably shouldn't even mention his employer in case it besmirches their good name. It is the delightful and hilarious Naaman Zhao. Hey, Naaman, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I have 3 days to live before irony takes me. Thank you for letting the audience know.
Have you heard the podcast before? Have you? I have no idea what your
I am a huge fan on this podcast.
Oh,
really? Podcast, and now on this podcast.
Yeah.
The power of the secret. I have wish fulfillmented my way onto this.
Well, you know what they say. Die early or live long enough to go on the podcast you previously enjoyed.
Never feature on your podcast heroes is what they say.
That would have been a much lower stakes Dark Knight if that was a quote. how's work been? We're doing a little bit of chat at the top of these about how everybody's getting on in ISO. You're still working. I still see your byline pop up.
Yeah, thank you. ISO working from home has not really changed my job at all. It's basically exactly the same. All I do is just basically spend my time on the phone typing away. But it is very hard to work from home in a small home with my girlfriend who I live with.
Oh.
Because we have a very small one-bedroom apartment, and I have found I inadvertently make a lot of work noises.
I wonder, or do you go like, it's a scoop?
I put on my big press hat, and I demand pictures of Spider-Man every day. Banging the table. I make stupid noises. Like, I have a lot of anxious energy. I'll just make like a bird noise, and I've realized I just have to emit my sound.
Fuck are you talking about?
What happens? What happens if you don't emit your sound?
I explode. It's as simple as that.
Me and my wife are working from home at the moment, and like I was so ready to be sympathetic, man, but like your issue is, yeah, it's really hard when you work from home and you got a small place and you just keep squawking like a bird.
Hey, 8 out of 10 bird couples have the same issues, so you should really
Is your partner in the apartment now? Has she had to sort of make herself scarce, or is she sitting a foot from you?
Yeah, she's monitoring me for squawks. No, she has thankfully left while I do this nonsense.
this week I've taken I've been asked to take a week of holidays from work, just because of a boring radio thing, which means that I'm going to be at home, not working from home this week, while Hum has to work from home, which I think is going to be. Like, it's going to be wild. Like, I'll be at home, is my point. I just won't be working.
It sounds like a logic puzzle.
I poorly explained this.
It seems like you guys agreed on a previous podcast, actually, that the best thing for all of you would be when you had a break to go away.
Yes. Yeah.
It seems like that was an arrangement that you had actually come to as a couple.
Yeah. The thing is, I hadn't, because the plan was for me to go and stay with my parents for a week.
Sure.
And potentially one of us had not cleared that with my parents. So the option is definitely still there. But I texted Mum the other night, and I was like, hey, I'm taking a week of holidays off work. I might come stay with you. And then she was like, I'll have to ask your father. And I'm like, what do you mean? I still have a bed there. Leave me alone. Anyway, we'll sort of that. It'll be fine.
I've been to your place, and it's a lovely place, but it's not a big place, Michael.
No. So one person trying to work from home would be, you know, it would be okay, I guess, serviceable.
The thing that really strikes me is that if you were to be doing a lot of gaming, which I think is pretty much a guarantee, you would more or less be doing that on top of Hum while she's trying to do her job.
Yeah, no, that TV is where she would work in front of, but instead I would be playing the Spider-Man DLC from like 6 months ago very loudly.
Sure.
Because our TV doesn't have headphone capabilities that I have.
But you've got to get those pictures for Naaman, so.
He has a contract. It must be fulfilled.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the classifieds, because this is a podcast. We go through the week's classifieds and find the best and worst things to talk about. Ben, do you have one you want to start us off with?
I do. This was sent in by Hall of Cowards, new inductee, I think. And I'm really sorry if you're already in the Hall of Cowards and I've erased you. But this was sent in by Allison.
Thank you, Allison.
No last name. She possibly does have one. She just didn't want to share it. Or perhaps it's a sort of Madonna situation, by which I mean perhaps it's Madonna.
Yeah.
So this was sent in by Madonna. Thank you. She's not doing great in isolation, so I'm glad.
Yeah.
That,
first of all, thank you for sending the classified. Secondly, that bathtub vid you did, real weird.
Really,
real strange stuff.
Yeah. This is taken from, you know, every time I think we've exhausted the internet, Michael, of places to draw stupid shit from, a listener like Madonna will send us something from a corner of the internet where I'll be like, oh, of course. So this is taken from r/Australia,
okay,
which is a corner of Reddit, which is meant to be, insofar as a country can have a Reddit, Australia has a Reddit.
Yeah, it's our national Reddit.
It's our national Reddit. There's a minister that oversees it. But this is this should give you a... I don't know if other countries' Reddits are as kind of cooked as our Australia, but this should give you a sense of the breadth of the sort of topics that can be discussed on our Australia.
Yes.
Okay. the headline of this is, why do Maccas... And Maccas is Australian for McDonald's. Why do Maccas discriminate against people who buy their $1.50 hamburgers?
Ah, yes. Discrimination, indeed.
You mentioned the Minister for R Australia. This is going to the Human Rights Commissioner.
Okay, so all I want is a quick bite of saucy cheap meat, and for $3, I can get two. Why does it feel like you throw the pieces of burger together from a distance of over 5 meters and then wrap the burgers without folding so they fall apart in the brown bag? And why, as soon as I ordered the burgers, the lady's tone shifts from a clown-like happiness to the basement buyer bitch, yep, is that all? That'll be $3. Come down to the next window, you cheap bastard.
That's okay, so next window, just to paint a scene, next window suggests that this person is ordering these $1.50 hamburgers drive-through.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely,
yes.
What is the... I'm just going to quickly look it up. What is the price differential between a cheeseburger
and a
hamburger?
Unless they constructed a separate window just for him, in which case that is discrimination.
That is discrimination.
I was ready to go in, but then it swung.
All right, so if I look at this, if I look at the McDonald's menu that I have up
are you
right
on the...
now...
That you pretended to pull up, but was in fact in front of you. your whole life.
Sorry, is that MCDO or is that?
Oh, they have those here now. Oh, I guess I might. Oh, interesting.
Oh, they deliver. Oh, okay. So, where am I looking? The hamburger's not even on here. Oh, here it's right down the bottom.
You're clearly reading the wrong.
Right. <it's
laughs> They have Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Oh, okay. So, interestingly, this was a waste of time because McDonald's does not display their prices on their website.
What, like a fancy restaurant?
But they don't.
So you can...
Yes. Market price. Market price hamburger.
Just depending on how bountiful their catch was.
They got them all in a big tub. And you pick your hamburger. they tell you how much it costs.
Swimming around.
There's a couple of market forces at play here, guys. One of them is obviously the demand for hamburgers, and the other one is how active the Hamburglar has been. The Hamburglar, if he's having a bumper week, that will jack up the prices for regular law-abiding punters.
Hang on, just to be clear, in McDonald's law, Does the Hamburglar...
Oh, we could talk about... Yeah.
Does the Hamburglar work for McDonald's? Or is the enemy of McDonald's?
Okay.
So is the Hamburglar stealing burgers from a third party and giving them to Ronald? Or...
No.
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 Okay.
Absolutely not. He exists
stealing
in
from
the
Hungry Jack's. What? Sorry,
He exists in the world of McDonald Land, where I don't believe McDonald's is a restaurant.
What?
Oh.
I don't know how that would work, because the mayor of McDonald Land is Mayor McCheese, who is a man with a hamburger for a head.
And you're suggesting that
cannot
town,
eat the mayor. It's in the constitution.
Any
the mayor
town
cannot be
that elects
packaged,
a cheeseburger
sold.
As mayor would probably not have a restaurant that also serves cheeseburgers.
I just think that it would probably be a different culture, you know what I mean?
Okay, so a cheeseburger burger only, according to aussieprices.com.au. Yeah, I've had to go to another source. Is $3.50. Whereas a hamburger is $1.50. So it is like less than half the price.
I'm sorry. I've just fallen down to McDonald Land rabbit hole here. And I don't want to interrupt, but I was just... out of the corner of my eye on the Wikipedia page, I was looking at the characters in the extended McDonald's Land verse.
Sure, sure.
And introduced in 1977 for advertising McDonald's in celebration of St. Patrick's Day is Uncle O'Grimacy.
Now, Ben, if you had to put a colour on... Is there a photo there of Uncle O'Grimacy?
I can only... Uncle O'Grimacy only exists as text. There's no recorded...
Oh, no. If you Google...
His image was too offensive.
If you Google Uncle O'Grimacy...
Okay,
there
I'm
is a
do
picture
that right now.
He is
yes,
a large
emerald green,
a large green grimace shaped, but notably, definitely more furry than Grimace. He's furrier than Grimace.
Oh.
He's more of a Muppet than Grimace. Mm. I'd say that they may have reached out to Jim Henson.
He's
to
like
create
a, he's the
Uncle
shape of a Christmas tree. He's a and yeah,
he's the shape of
green.
A Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and also wearing a vest. Because Grimace is traditionally completely naked, whereas Uncle O'Grimacy is wearing a sort of...
In your
a,
fan art, maybe, yes.
Yeah.
Guys, can I do one more? Oh can I God. Please do one more?
Yeah, okay.
One more. Okay, this is a couple down from... In fact, this is the second last character they've listed on this Wikipedia page. I should point out they have not listed these in alphabetical order. This is definitely in order of quality and cut through. The very last one is Mike the Microphone. So that's...
who is Mike the Microphone?
Oh, he's just a piece of shit.
Right,
it's fine. The second last one is I Am Hungry, right? And that is spelt I-A-M as like a misspelling of Ian.
Yep.
I am hungry, okay? These are the two sentences that describe I am hungry. A short-lived McDonald Land character who was introduced in 1998 and dropped in 2001. Self-proclaimed as the vice president of snacking, the character was a fast-moving... floating green fuzzball with orange arms and a monstrous face.
No, I've seen this.
Yes, I've seen this in my dreams and nightmares.
No, it sort of looks. If I had to sort of describe it, from memory, he kind of looks like Aggro without a body, just Aggro's head floating around. Maybe a bit brighter and a bit greener than that, but that's kind of the area. It's like a giant Muppet head. And he's so annoying. He's so freaking annoying.
Okay, you know what? You have I don't want to turn this into a podcast where we just Google McDonald's Land characters and see what they look like. But you've actually nailed it in the description of like Aggro without a body and he's green.
Mm, yeah,
he's all that was holding Aggro back from vice president of snacking was his feeble body. You gotta let that go, Aggro. Climb that corporate ladder.
I do like the idea that they the McDonald's people they did contact the president of snacking and asked for an interview, but the president was unavailable. So the president is
a figurehead. He's
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a McFlurry.
The real power behind the snacking throne.
All right, let's briefly return to the
yes.
If we can.
To the
wait, yeah, Ben, can I just very quickly ask, what was that the year that I Am Hungry gave up his vice presidency?
He was dropped in 2001.
Oh, interesting.
Right, so right after the Twin Towers fell. Yeah.
You're saying that I Am Hungry.
Look, I don't think it matters what
was named in the 9/11 report as having some culpability or failure, and was as a result removed from office, impeached, if you will.
Yeah, I think we need to know what he knew and when he knew it. I think that's.
We know that he is hungry. What else?
Okay, so this person is annoyed about the fact that
The McDonald's staff treat you like shit if you
order
buy the cheap hamburgers. And also that they're kind of... I have to say, I have noticed this about the cheeseburgers. Not the hamburgers, because I'm not some sort of medieval peasant. But I have noticed it about the hamburgers, that they really do just slap them together and kind of... It looks like a present wrapped by a three-year-old. You know what I mean?
Right, okay. So here's the thing, right? A hamburger's going to cost you $1.50 at McDonald's. That feels like it's... Mm-hmm. That feels like very cheap, right? A cheeseburger.
It's a bargain.
$3.50. So you're paying, I guess, $2 there for a slice of cheese, I think. Is that the only difference? Mm. That's the only difference, isn't it?
Well, what's on a cheeseburger? There's the patty, which you get in the hamburger. Yep, there's
pickles and onions or whatever, which you get in the hamburger. Sauce.
Do you get the pickles and onions in the hamburger?
Oh, maybe. What? So you're saying that the hamburger is just then some bread and meat, and that's it.
Well, if I go back to the description from this poster, all I want is a quick bite of saucy cheap meat.
Right. Okay. Look, I mean, again, I'm gonna open up the McDonald's full menu here, and the hamburger appears to have pickles. Yeah, you know, the hamburger has pickles and onions on it, and mustard.
Okay, that is very interesting. Mm. Here's what I think. Here is what I think. Are we familiar with the concept of a loss leader?
So you're saying McDonald's... Wait, that doesn't make any sense. Because the idea of a loss leader is, it's like petrol, right? Uh-huh. A petrol station. You go there, they don't make a lot of money on petrol, but at the service station, you might buy like, you know, a Kit Kat or something, and that's how they make their money, right? Mm.
Yeah. So what they do is they get you in with the hamburgers, but then you're there and you're like, oh man, I want to get Uncle O'Grimacy's Shamrock Shake or whatever. And you get that, and that's where they make their money.
Clean up.
But well, what this guy's doing is he's circumventing all of that and doubling down on the loss leader. They're losing money. The poor person at the checkout knows that because she's seen the books. She's been briefed that, hey, if we hemorrhage too many of these things, we're going to have to let you go. In this economy, yeah. And then so every time that somebody orders one but doesn't follow it up with something else, it probably comes out of her pay.
Yeah, well, the issue with, or maybe the genius, is that having food as a loss leader, the more food you eat, the hungrier you do become. So it is a watertight plan.
This is what I was going to say, that it doesn't work as a loss leader, because if you go in and you buy a hamburger, it makes you less likely to buy other things. A loss leader, you need it to make it more likely that you buy other things. Or at least stay neutral. I think what's happened here is that I don't know anyone who's ever ordered a hamburger. I don't think I've ever done it. I think what it is that there's some sort of like... I mean, look, I often say ancient curse, but I reckon there's some sort of magic going on, right? Where you know how animals only have a certain amount of heartbeats before they die?
I mean, that's true.
We're conflating many assumptions. Heartbeats, magic.
But it's like that, right? There's only a finite amount of like hamburgers that McDonald's can sell before
the universe
as an enterprise, the universe will swallow it up, you know?
I mean, that's just true, though. I mean, like, you've got the causation round the wrong way, but there is literally a number somewhere.
Yeah. Let him go, Ben. I want to hear where this goes.
I'm just saying that, like, this person knows that they're closer to their limit of hamburgers because it's the classic McDonald's product over, say, the lesser burger, you know, the Filet-O-Fish, the Uncle O'Grimacy's Shamrock Shake, for example, right?
Well, that's a shake.
Yeah, but they're getting what I'm saying is they're getting closer and closer to that number. Let's call it, for the purposes of this theorem, let's call it X. They're getting closer and closer to X with their sale of hamburgers, and they know that the universe will swallow them up. So every time you are in there, and he's not ordering just one, but two separate hamburgers, these crystalline jewels, the person behind the counter knows that, you know, they are closer and closer to extinction, you know?
Now, do you know what you've done there? You've actually set up a scenario that has magic that doesn't require magic.
Oh, the hamburgers are made out of pumpkins, Ben. That's how they...
All right, unless anyone has any follow-up comments on McDonald's lore, shall we move on?
Yeah, sure. Hing, do you have one you want to share with us?
I do, indeed. This one was sent in by Johan. Thank you, Johan. Second, the Boston Craigslist. And by the way, if you are listening and you see any Craigslist or Gumtree ads or whatever, do post them, or Facebook ones, do post them to us, please. Now that we're doing more of the podcast, we do need more of these ads to go through. Yeah, this is taken from Boston Craigslist. Hello, is anyone listening in Boston? It's entitled "Looking to Hire for One Day." Cool. It's in the labor gigs section of Metro West in the Boston area. I am looking to hire someone for a couple of hours for a gig. Here are the requirements. Must be able to work early mornings, so that's 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. Must be dependable and reliable. Must be able to lift 60 pounds. So far, tick, 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 I think, for all three of us.
You can lift 60 pounds?
Yeah, what's that? That's like 25 kilos, something like that?
I didn't realize this was a forum for outrageous boasting.
That is not a boast, man.
I mean, I move my body weight out of my bed into the world daily.
Okay, car knowledge is a plus.
Car knowledge?
Car knowledge. So like knowing,
car knowledge.
Yeah, as in knowing about the mechanics of the world. Oh, sorry, of cars.
Well, that could just be having knowledge of a car.
That's true. they're not specific. Maybe it's mechanical knowledge. Maybe it's who won the Bathurst 1000 in 1998.
Maybe it's biblical knowledge. Maybe they want you to have fucked a car.
All right. Pay is a flat rate of $80 and will take 2 hours. So it's $40 an hour. That's pretty good pay. This is Craigslist, and it can be a little sketchy. So I'll just put it out there that I'm looking for someone to hire for 2 hours to be with me while I see if my husband is cheating on me. There's no confrontation.
In a car. So you have to know what make and model and how you can fuck it.
There is no... Yeah, if he's cheating on me with a car, who then he keeps fucking. There is no confrontation or anything bad. I just don't want to be alone, and I don't want my friends or family to know about my situation. I'd prefer someone that's not going to judge me or ask a ton of questions. Thanks.
This ad's been a real roller coaster for me.
Because there's a lot of stuff there where I can see how it's related, and there's some stuff that I'm just a bit like, oh, I don't know about. So, I mean, frankly, I'm kind of a bit of a gossip hound. I think I would probably do this. I'd do this for $80, you know? Go hang out with someone and work out if their husband's cheating on them. That might be, you know, could be interesting.
Well, is it working it out, or is it just confronting him?
No, she says there is no confrontation or anything.
Oh, right. She explicitly said that.
No,
I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, you just need to hang out for 2 hours while she sees if her husband is cheating on her.
Hang on, 2 hours, what was it, 4 a.m. to 6 a.m.?
3 a.m. to 4 a.m.-ish. So let's say 3 to 5, something like that.
What, the prime cheating times of
pre-dawn?
Yeah,
what's happening is the husband is putting... Like, they're going to bed, and the husband's then getting up and then going out to do his cheating, I imagine. Or maybe not. Maybe he's,
to
maybe
get
he's
his,
out all
get
night.
Get his cheating done early in the morning so you can...
The early bird is a cleaner.
He's fucking the worm. That's what it is.
There's the thing of must be able to lift 60 pounds. Yeah. Which
maybe that's just like a... you got to be kind of fit.
Oh, like it's like one of an army general test of fitness kind of thing.
But as you say, 60 pounds is not that much. Mm. Like, that doesn't prove anything,
I guess,
really.
You just don't want a proper weakling to turn up, you know?
Maybe this is a way, because it's like, Must be able to lift 60 pounds. Car knowledge is a plus. Maybe it's just a nice way of saying no nerdlingers.
Knowledge of Magic the Gathering, a minus.
Yeah, if you can name any planeswalkers from the collectible card game Magic Gathering, back of the queue for you.
What do we think this job actually is?
I think it's probably a stakeout. I think it's an old-fashioned detective-style stakeout. You've got to sit in the car for a bit. You're drinking coffee. You're ordering Chinese food. I mean, I don't know.
So you think that's the knowledge of cars? You need to be able to sit in one and not freak out about why you're in this tiny room?
Where are the best places to hide your pee in a car? You know, that's the...
Yeah, look...
I think you're probably right.
Yeah, the start of this ad was funny, but then it got impossibly sad. She just wants someone to be with her because she's too embarrassed or mortified. It turns out that her husband is cheating on her. Well, that's what you have, that's what you have to sit through, that slow realization and that strange metal box you don't understand.
I think it's probably just a witness situation. It's like, if I see it with my eyes, I want someone else to be able to tell me I'm not like, my eyes aren't lying to me.
I entered a fugue state.
That's mental. No, you can use a GoPro for that.
Oh, like, right. Take a photo. That's true. Tape it on your phone.
You're right, though. Like, this would be a really, like, I feel like a life-defining job to take. To sit in a car with somebody in Boston at the front of a motel, regardless of how it panned out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And just sit there for 2 hours while she, like, works out if her husband's cheating on her. Then having to deal with the fallout one way or the other.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a great way to make a friend, frankly. I would do this. This is one of the rarities on this podcast where I officially say I would do this.
Do you think you'd be good at it, though? Because I don't think you'd be good at it.
No, I'd be
I'm not saying you can't lift 60 pounds.
I'd be a mess.
But if I were to find out, like, something horrible... that kind of turns my life upside down, there are few people I can think of who I would rather not have by my side than you.
So you're saying, that if you found out that your wife was cheating on you, for example, and I was there, like, next to you when you got the text message or whatever, or when we saw or whatever, what would you do? Would you just walk away from me?
I would literally just be like.
What do you think I would do? Are you worried I like crack wise in your face? Are you worried I would say some robotic thing? Or
I think the danger would be that you would more or less ignore it entirely. You'd be like, so does that mean you don't want to get a cup of coffee? Or
so does that mean you don't want to record a pod now? Is that what we're doing?
Should we just keep power on through? What do you think? What do you reckon, Ben?
Ben, should I stop the recording?
Ben, I heard that message pop up. Do you want to... There's two more ads.
Sorry, Ben. We all agreed, Ben, that we'd have our phones on silent during the record, so...
Oh, Hutchie fucking Marchie. You're right, though, Naaman. This is one of the... It's a genre of ad on this podcast that goes from, what do we have here, to this is unspeakably sad.
Well, anyway, thank you to Johan for sending that in and not warning us at all how sad it was.
Naaman, do you have one you want to read for us?
Yes, I certainly do. This is, on the topic of McDonald's, this is Facebook post from the Kansas City North Swap Shop. So I assume from America. And it is titled, McDonald's Land PlayStation, $500.
Is this a PlayStation, like a Sony PlayStation themed?
No, this is, with pictures, this is a full McDonald's land. So this is one of those huge sort of playpens that you see outside the Maccas where the kids sort of run through tunnels and everything.
Yeah, so,
And it is, I don't know, it is sitting... inside, well, I guess that maybe it's someone's house. It's just sort of surrounded by grass. It is an obviously non-McDonald's location. I don't know what it is, but I know what it isn't.
Is there a price on this?
Oh, yes, $500.
$500, okay.
All right, so the ad continues. These things are obviously indestructible, but...
How is that obvious?
Oh, they tested the atom bomb on these.
That's one of those things, though, that a point that gets made often when something is described as indestructible, that you would only know that something is indestructible if you tried to destroy it.
You know? I spent my life...
Anybody who's ever been high on meth out of their skull with a sledgehammer at McDonald's at 3 a.m. in the morning will know that this bad boy isn't going anywhere.
Well, it has been transplanted from its McDonald's home to this yard, so hey.
Or, I mean, given that it's indestructible, maybe as the years went by, the McDonald's fell away around it, but this survived.
This is an ancient Aztec McDonald's land. These things are obviously indestructible, but the netting that is there to keep kids from climbing on the outside will need to be removed and replaced.
Okay.
Has the covered ball pit and is structurally fine. As are all McDonald's lands, this is modular, meaning you can take it apart for use in pieces.
Okay, so this is a full McDonald's land play set, PlayStation thing, $500. I mean, I guess the only reason I wouldn't get this is that I don't have the space to store it. But
yeah, I mean, okay, so 500 US bucks, I've just run the numbers. That's 780 Australian.
Okay.
How many $1.50 hamburgers is that?
Ooh, Michael, it's 500 or so.
I can't possibly know, actually. This is interesting, though, because to return to our earlier conversation, all the McDonald's Land branding, because after the McDonald's Land TV show or ad spots cancelled, most of the McDonald's Land lore... existed on Happy Meal boxes and on this playset stuff, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Like lost tomes washed up ashore. Yeah.
I can't see any branding on this. This looks like a completely generic... I'm saying that I feel like the branding has been completely stripped of it. It's definitely a McDonald's Land thing. I'd recognize that anyway.
Okay.
So Ben, we've accidentally created Antiques Roadshow for McDonald's lore starring you. I just hope we're all aware of this.
People bring in obscure McDonald's paraphernalia and Ben dates it and then values it at a price.
Oh, this is a very good find. This is a two-faced glass from the Happy Meal from the Tommy Lee Jones Batman movie.
It's like wiping away at the like edge of the plant. Oh, you see the trademark Grimace embossed stamp. this is a legitimate playland.
So we think this is. So you're saying you recognise the architecture and the construction, Ben, and the colour scheme, but there's no hamburger stickers. There's no cheese pole.
All the decals are gone.
So this is presumably already being purchased by a. This hasn't come direct from the McDonald's. It's gone somewhere. Has been refitted.
I don't know, Michael. Right. I don't know.
Interesting.
It could just be an elaborate counterfeit McDonald's playland.
It's from some market in Shenzhen or something. It's like some old woman is telling you, no, this is real. Okay. So I was thinking with this, I've looked up comparable prices for play sets and new, something like this, like a new play set. This size is going to cost you something like, honestly, $10,000. Like,
wow.
These are not, $500 for this is an absolute steal. But, you know, it's one of those things where I can see on the ad that I've got up now, there is a very tantalizing See More tab that's not been included in the ad that was sent to us.
Sure.
It is one of those things where, like, $500, you got to wonder why it's only $500. Maybe it's one of those things where...
I have a suggestion after having looked at the photo a little bit clearer.
Yeah.
I reckon this might be $500 because it's bolted to the earth.
Oh, it is.
I reckon that might be why.
I was going to say it's one of those things where if we were able to click on the See More tab, it's like one of those things where the real estate agent has to tell you that 15 years ago someone was murdered. In the house, you know?
The bones of Uncle Grimace O'Hannessy live within this McDonald's land. I forgot his racist name. I couldn't remember. Yeah.
He was Uncle O'Grimacy was actually martyred in the McDonald's land troubles in the 70s and 80s.
Under the Good Friday Agreement, I have to sell this McDonald's land for $500
please,
or less.
Please, please, please. The Good Sunday Agreement.
Oh, no. Did you guys ever...
For the purpose of that joke, Sunday is spelt A-E.
Boo. Do you have many memories from growing up and going to a McDonald's Land playgrounds at all? Either of you?
Only road trips. We were never allowed... in McDonald's Land play area when we would just go to McDonald's regularly. But
why not? What was the purpose behind that?
I don't know, maybe they were saving it so it would be really special and the kids could get their energy out on road trips.
Right. So you'd be at
I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast before, but when we were like, I can't remember how old we were, probably like 10, 10, 11, all the kids were around that age. The local McDonald's got a drive through window. Which was kind of novel.
Right, okay.
And maybe it got like, it was something new enough that Dad got really excited about it and piled all the kids into the car to go try it out. And so he was like, oh, that's right. He's like, there's this box and you just order into the box and then they say, thanks very much. And you drive up and they give it to you, right? Mm-hmm. And so we all piled into the Tarago, drove up, Dad... leans out the window and he's like, what do you want? And he like, we all take our orders and he like says it into the box and then like nothing happens. And then he says it into the box again and he's like getting kind of embarrassed in front of his children. And then we work out much earlier than he does that he is in fact talking into a bin. And that the speaker box is like, you know, 10 feet in front of him. And I think he worked it out too, but kind of pressed on because it's really difficult to sort of admit that you're talking into a bin.
Hell yeah.
How do you press on by continuing to talk into a bin that will not serve you food no matter how much you yell at it?
Triples down.
I think he was like, well, I'll just finish the order. And then he was like, oh, wait, there's another one. And then drop up to the plate.
I mean, I could imagine if I was caught in that situation, I could imagine absolutely spiraling and then yelling at the bin if I could speak to its manager or something. You know, that's a larger bin that I needed to see.
I think this would be very much a curse. Not magical, but a literal kind of like, I now have this huge chunky thing that I don't know what to do with.
Mm. Well, if it's bolted to the ground, does that not add credence to your theory that the McDonald's fell away from it?
Yeah, I think it does. I think this once was where a mighty McDonald's stood, and all that's left is its. You can date it by the McDonald's land, but very little else.
The Ozymandias of McDonald's lands.
Yes,
stood upon it and wept.
Now, Naaman, you've actually brought something in for us.
I have, yes. So this is a bit of a genre change. This is one of the my most favorite internet relics that I've ever found. It's from the site Quora.com. I don't know whether people know about it. I don't actually really understand the premise of Quora. I think you just ask questions.
Yeah, it's where demented people ask questions and weirdly experts answer.
It's called the tagline for Quora is a place to share knowledge and better understand the world.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So I imagine, Naaman, whatever you're bringing in from this website will help us share knowledge and better understand.
It will enrich all of our lives. So it's a very simple question. It's four perfect words. Does Mario respect Luigi? So, annoyingly, in my memory, when I saw this the first time, there was an explanation, but actually there's no
really?
There's no follow-up. It's just out there. But anyway, the first answer is they don't talk enough in video games for a proper answer, except from the Super Mario Brothers Super Show and the other shows credited by Nintendo that are likely canon.
Are they canon? I guess they are.
I doubt they are canon. it's safe to say that Luigi has high respect for Mario.
That wasn't the question. That was not the question.
Everyone knows Luigi respects Mario, obviously.
Obviously.
So Luigi has high respect for Mario, despite perhaps being a bit jealous. But Mario likely respects him back, as their brothers.
Ooh, Well, hang on one moment there.
Famously, brothers do not have to respect each other. I mean, that's...
I'm talking Cain and Abel, Romulus and Remus, Mario and Luigi.
Wario and Waluigi.
The Cuomo brothers.
Are Wario and Waluigi
I actually don't think they are. They're not related, no.
So wait, hang on, wait. Wait. Wait.
I knew we would get into Mario lore the second we dove so delightfully into McDonald's lore. I knew that.
Hang on. You're telling me that Mario is Luigi's brother, obviously.
I am telling
Wario,
you.
What is the relationship between Mario and Wario?
Enemies.
That's their narrative relationship. But are they cousins or something?
I don't think they're related.
Right, okay. But then Waluigi is not Wario's brother or cousin or anything.
Well, if we take that they're the inverse, right? So they're the opposite.
Yeah.
They'd be the opposite of brothers. So they'd be sisters.
Sort of just depends.
Technically, they are sisters.
It sort of just depends on the... on whatever axis of opposite you're choosing to grade this on.
Because you're right. They are not opposite in every way.
Yeah.
Like, you would expect a completely opposite Mario to be tall and skinny, whereas Wario is still short.
He's just shorter and fatter.
I just had a thought of Anya just overhearing what I'm doing while she's looking after our kid and, felt... And thinking her hearing that sentence and felt like palpable shame, like I was looking at pornography
now,
or something.
Do you think if Anya was overhearing you say that, do you think, and it really affected how she viewed you, do you think I'd be a good person to be there with her at the time?
No. I don't think we have any reason to think that there isn't respect from Mario to Luigi, insofar as we assume that Mario is capable of respect.
He is a god. He hovers above human concepts of respect, family ties. Well, the thing about Mario and Luigi is they are ciphers. They are for us to control, So whether or not Mario respects Luigi is actually, you know, do you as a player of that game.
Okay.
Respect or perform.
Wow, that is a level of RPG in the Mario games that I had not considered before. That you could really roleplay Mario as respectful or disrespectful of Luigi.
I don't think
neutral, respectful, chaotic, respectful.
I don't think there are too many. I don't think the game presents you with many levers, I suppose, to pull to disrespect Luigi, if that makes sense.
Well, you haven't played Mario's Lever Land, clearly.
I think you can beat him up in Super Smash Brothers. You can race him off the track in Mario Kart. Mm. But you can do all these things to Bowser, and we're not honestly suggesting that there's a respect between Mario and Bowser, are we?
Well, there should be a healthy respect between Mario and Bowser. I mean, he's his mortal enemy, in the way that Sherlock respects Moriarty, surely. In many ways, without Bowser, there is no Mario.
That's true. And I think one of the most cutting things that Mario could say to Luigi is, without Bowser, there's no Mario. But without Luigi, there's still Mario. I'm imagining, by the way, he's saying this right before he's pushing him off a cliff.
I know that video games and can be a very gendered hobby, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As an example of this, I'm looking at this Quora page now, and there's like half a dozen answers, right? And each of the first five or six of them are like a paragraph or longer, right? And they are by I would say the first five or six of them all male names. Paragraph or longer exploration of the lore about Paper Mario and Paper Luigi. Uh-huh. There's references here to whether or not Mario cares deeply about him or respects him, if that's a difference. And then the first definitively female name that comes up is someone called Lauren, and they've answered it with just the word no. I mean, I understand that all gender is just a structure to maintain power, and is a hierarchical structure just to maintain power. But at the same time, I mean, this really feels like a huge difference.
I had never noticed that until you pointed it out now, and I'm seeing straight into my own soul.
I am the three of us sitting here being like, is there a Bowser without Luigi? Is there? And then just one woman being like, no, you must, no, no.
I have brought this question onto two different shows now. I took this question onto Radio National on the public broadcaster.
Naaman, how did you find this? Because I thought it would be like a viral thing with like many millions of views, but there's only like 2,000 views, isn't it? On this thing.
How did I find it? I honestly can't remember. Probably
does Mario respect
Mario Lord?
You wanted an answer. Oh man.
Yeah, we'll see. There's no question asker on there.
Naaman, you do work at The Guardian, and people can find your byline by searching your name and then The Guardian, I suppose.
Yep, that's how you do it.
And you recently wrote an article that I fear may come to define you. but of things that could, you know, of things that could be potentially your legacy, it's a pretty good thing. You wrote an article about an Australian scientist who stuck magnets up his nose while trying to do some COVID-related stuff and got them stuck up there. It was a delight. I wheezed with laughter.
Is there like a what's the Pulitzer Prize equivalent for reporting on a man getting magnets stuck up his nose? Is there a specific category?
No, that's just the Pulitzer. That's just the Pulitzer. Yeah. Yeah.
It's called the Gold Pulitzer.
Naaman, Gold Pulitzer Prize winning journalist, thank you so much for coming on. It's been such a delight to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great.
Michael, do you have anything you want to say to our listeners?
Yes, I think by the time this comes out, we're going to be doing on May the 2nd, which I think is after this will come out, we are doing a werewolf stream for Dragon Friends with a bunch of different podcasters. And I imagine it's going to go really well. We're going to do more of them. So find us on Twitch for that. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Because Ben and I are going to play and we're going to represent Free to a Good Home and not Dragon Friends. I've decided.
Yeah, great.
Oh.
But this has been an absolute delight. Thank you so much for coming. If you enjoy listening to this show, please send in some ads for us. It helps us do it. Rate and review, all that stuff. And until next week, bye.
Bye. If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you'd like making love at midnight in the dunes on the Cape, then I'm the love that you've looked for. Write to me and escape. Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.